Money matters. We are all missionaries. Today we're gonna put a lid on the series here. This is the wrap up of our sermon series, and so I'd like to start by just saying welcome to New Sharon Assembly of God, and I'm glad you've chosen to join us this morning. I know we look meek and mild out here, but as Joel said, and as the Bible says, where two or three are gathered, there I am with you. And so we know that the Lord is present with us today. And I have a story I'd like to start and share with you this morning. And I'd like you just to dwell on it, think about it a little bit. A little girl loved the Lord, and she longed to share the message of Christ. Does anybody long to share the message of Christ? Anybody? Every hand should be up, right? She longed to share the message of Christ with those on the mission field. She contributed all she had, a single penny, to a missionary. Now, I know that just sounds silly, right? What's a penny do in today's economy, right? Just listen. Does anyone have a penny with them today? Maybe take that penny out and put it in your hand and finish listening to the story here. She contributed all she had, a penny, to a missionary to help in the work of evangelizing the people of Burma. The missionary was so touched. And I think to myself, this is side note, this is Mike Linder note here. If I was a missionary and I had to ask myself, would I really be excited about getting a penny? Right? Commonly, you say no. But there's a difference between, if we look back to last week, what did we talk about last week? Deed versus generosity, right? A gift given from duty or a gift given from the heart, right? So this little girl, we already know, she wanted to evangelize. She wanted to share the gospel. She longed for it, right? She gave all she had. So the missionary's response, the missionary was so touched by the little girl's response that he decided to do the most he could with that little penny. After careful thought, he bought a gospel tract and personally gave it to a young chieftain in Burma. The chieftain would not admit that he could not read, yet he burned with a desire to know the contents of that leaflet. He traveled 250 miles to find someone who would read it to him. And after hearing the gospel message, it was not long after this, the young chief made a profession of faith in Christ. Returning to his people, he told them what the Lord had done for him. Later, he invited missionaries to come and share Jesus with the village. Many tribesmen accepted the good news and were converted. All this, and probably more, resulted, listen, from one dedicated penny given in Christ's name by the girl who gave from her heart. So keep this in mind today. A penny can change a life. As Missions Month starts this next week, I believe it was essential. We haven't talked about missions for a very long time. I wanted to bring focus back to missions giving. And there will be some overlap from last week because this does also lap with generosity. But the focus is on missions and the impact that we can have in spreading the gospel message. So today we conclude our Money Matters sermon series. We've spent the last 2 weeks talking about the biblical principles of money. First week we talked about debt and how we become a slave to the lender in debt. And now, while the Bible doesn't say debt is wrong, it also doesn't say it's right, right? It kind of talks on both sides of it, and it comes down to being smart, right? Last week we talked about giving from deed or giving from generosity and how that looks in our life. And today, we're going to talk about giving to missionaries. And honestly, we're all missionaries. And I hope to uncover that as we continue on this morning. But each one of us, does everyone have breath in their lungs this morning? We are all called to be missionaries, okay? So let's get to our scripture this morning. If you have a Bible with you, and I hope you or someone around you has one, if you can open it, let me invite you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 15. And as you turn there, a couple of things you might see. Your header might say, encouragement to give generously. Does anybody have that as their header? The collection for the Lord's people. Does anybody have that for their header? Okay. A call to generous giving. Does anybody have that on their header? And lastly, excel in giving. So these are the different headers that you might see from this. Let's get to our scripture this morning. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed, right here, overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, so as we excel in faith, as we excel in speech and in knowledge and in all earnestness and our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was what? Rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. And in this matter I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. Let's underline that, desire to do it. So now finish doing it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to do what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. And this scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, these are the two chapters I told you to read last week. Did anyone read them? One hand. Somebody did their homework. Chapters 8 and chapter 9, it deals with instruction, right, about an offering for the poor and disadvantaged believers in Jerusalem. And the principles given here, they serve as a guide for us today, for believers, for churches, for all time, for how to give. In verse 7, we see that it tells us that God expects us to excel in this act of grace also, this act of giving what you have by being generous with our God-given resource. Do you own anything that wasn't given to you by God? Trick question. The answer is no, you don't, right? Everything that we have is a God-given resource. And when we give to God's purposes, our efforts are multiplied many times over. Look back to the story with the little girl and her penny. One penny seemingly not worth much of anything. I don't even know if you can buy a Tootsie Roll anymore with a penny. You used to be able to go into the grocery store with 25 pennies and get 25 Tootsie Rolls, right? As a kid, I used to go around town and dig through trash cans to get everyone's pop bottles out of the car wash to go get my Tootsie Rolls when my parents were working during the summer. That's just what I did. I always got my snack every day because I went and dug through trash cans, okay? I'm not even kidding. I did it all the time. Anyways, when we give to God's purposes, we see it multiplied. So this little girl's penny, right, it bought a gospel tract, right? And now on the other end of that, when it got to the chieftain in Burma, you had a heart that was already ready to receive, right? He read the gospel tract. Somebody portrayed the message, the good news to him. They proclaimed the kingdom of God. And it so touched his heart that he made a decision for Jesus Christ. And as the chieftain, right? What does the chief do? He guides his village, right? So now he starts inviting missionaries to come and share the message with the people of his tribe. And all of a sudden, one penny has now created lives that are forever written in the book of life and in eternity with Jesus Christ, right? So the question we have to answer today is, why should we, as the local church and as individuals, support missions, right? It's biblical. It's biblical to do so. From what we just read, and also because of the Great Commission, right? Scripture teaches us that we are all called to be missionaries, whether we serve in missions at home, right? Do we have a mission field right here? Is a school a mission field? Right? Is just the community of New Sharon, is your job a mission field? Do you know people at your job that do not know Jesus Christ? Welcome to your mission field. You are called to be a missionary, right? We all have the calling to go throughout the world and make what? Disciples. That comes from Matthew 28, 19 through 20. And it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Now, while many of us haven't been called to quit our jobs and work full-time in missions field, right? If you were, you're either raising money to go or you would already be, correct? Is anybody itinerating to go to the mission field, right? So not a lot of us have actually been called to make that our full-time job and work full-time in the missions field. It certainly, listen to this, it certainly doesn't exclude us from taking an active role in the ministry of missions. So because we haven't been called does not mean we do not have to be mindful of being involved in the mission field. Our mission field is here, right here in New Sharon. It's to work where we live, but it's also to support those who are called, right? Most importantly, it's through prayer, and it's through giving, and it's through serving. Right? Those are the three ways that we can support the mission field today. Now, that sounds really simple. As I'm writing it, I'm like, this is just so simple. Of course, we can do all of this. But when we look at it, we look back to last week against versus giving verse out of requirement, out of deed, versus giving out of generosity. And you look a little bit closer. There's some misconception. We have some wrong perspectives on what supporting missions looks like. And so I did some Google searching on missions and why people do or don't give. And many people feel like if they're not called, then there's no need to support missions, right? So if we're not called, we're not called to support missions. Some feel like giving to missions becomes a burden, right? Giving becomes a burden. Some have even expressed being ashamed about raising funds for missions. And some will not consider giving, or some will not consider going because they lack the finances or they carry large debts. So that goes back to 2 weeks ago, right? Where's your finances at, right? And honestly, all of these are wrong perspectives on missions that just hinder God's great work of spreading His kingdom throughout the world. God has chosen to do the work of missions through the financial support of His faithful saints. Who are the faithful saints? Everybody raise your hand. Congratulations, you're all the faithful saints, right? I'm the faithful saint, right? God has chosen to do the work of missions through the support of His faithful saints, us. Now, when God sent His Son to do the work of missions on earth, how did He provide for Jesus, right? He chose to provide for Him through the loyal financial support of others. We find this in Luke chapter 8, verse 3, and it says this, "Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others, these women were helping to support them out of their own means," out of their own pockets, they were supporting this. And Christ, so that means that Christ had His needs provided through the faithful support of others, the loyal support of others. You turn to Luke chapter 9 and we see, what does Jesus tell the disciples when they go to spread the word? What does he tell them? Don't take anything with you. Don't take extra money. Don't take extra clothes. Don't take your mat to sleep on. Go. Because the people that they go to would provide their needs. The task of the church is to help proclaim the kingdom of God. Can we all agree to that today? It is our job to proclaim the kingdom of God. And if we are to proclaim the person and the work of Jesus Christ in all places, to all people, to the very end of time. When's the end of time? Right? When Jesus comes back, and then there's going to be those that believe after he comes back. And until the end is finished, the new Jerusalem, new earth, new heaven, until that time we proclaim the person and the work of Christ in all places to all people until the end of time. No place is to be ignored. No place is to be ignored. No person, whether young or old, should be ignored. No person, whether rich or poor, should be ignored. No one is to be overlooked. And lastly, there's to be no arbitrarily stopping to say, we have gone far enough. What if Jesus said, I have gone far enough? Cross is just too far for me to go. Right? No arbitrary stopping to say that we have gone far enough. So, for the church, for those of us, all of this is to be undertaken until the end of age. Until we no longer have breath in our lungs, we are to work as missionaries in the mission field, spreading the kingdom of God. The supreme task of the church is this: win as many people possible to Christ before the end of this present age. Isn't that why we exist? Our sign says, well, I don't know if it says, but our vision statement is engaging our community for Jesus. And I believe the sign says, come as you are, right? Do we change people, or does the Holy Spirit change people, right? I don't care who you are. We just want you to hear the message of Jesus Christ. We want you to know Him personally. And it's our job as a church. And this is why I'm blown away by the response on Kingdom Kids on Wednesday night with 14 visitors coming, or not visitors, 14 volunteers coming to help, is these are individuals that say, we want to carry this out because we believe these children need to know who Jesus Christ is. So our giving, do you know this? Your giving helps proclaim the kingdom of God all over the world. What did the story with the penny tell us, right? It went to Burma, a whole tribe accepted Jesus Christ. So our giving to missions helps proclaim the kingdom of God to many people, and people we will likely never, ever, ever meet in our lifetime. I would like to think that when we get to heaven, there's no biblical standing for this, but this is just my personal. I'd like to think that when we get to heaven, we get to know what our impact was on earth. I get to see the lives that were changed because of our giving. And if you give to missions today, you give trusting the organization that you give to. You know that they're doing a good work, but you don't really know the outcome, right? You don't know the harvest of that work. God does. And I don't know. I'd like to believe that God is going to say, your faithfulness, this is who knows me because of that. Now, did you know, some of you know this, some of you don't know any of this. Did you know that New Sharon Assembly of God has a very wealthy heritage around missions? If you knew that, raise your hand. Okay, a few of you did. So this church, several have been sent out. I had no way to look at records and find out how many were actually sent out from this church, but I know it's been a handful. A lot of people have been sent out as missionaries from this church. Did you know that this church was planted in 1933? Do you know who planted this church? Morris Plotts. So Morris Plotts planted this church in 1933. Do you know what he did 22 years after he planted this church? He went to Africa as a missionary. Let me read this little excerpt here. In 1955, at age 49, Morris Plotts felt an urgency to do overseas missions work. The Division of Foreign Missions, now the Assemblies of God World Missions Division, felt that he was too old to go as a first-time missionary. After his application was rejected, Morris Plotts decided to raise his own support and go out on his own. He packed up his bags and he went to Africa. And his answer to critics was that God has called me. He traveled to Kenya and worked with the Wanga people who had never heard the gospel message. The chief offered land for him to build a church and a school. Plotts built a 500-seat church and began preaching salvation, healing, and spirit baptism, and also prayed and cast out demons. Later on, there's a whole history. Just type in Morris Plotts AG. You'll get a whole page of who he is. Here's the point of this. So for people that are going, right, missions that are going and proclaiming the good news and doing the work, how do they do that? Through our faithful support, right? They need support to carry out the work and spread the gospel through the world. Morris's response was, "You're too old, you can't go," was, "I will find my own funding. I believe God has called me to this." And he raised his funding and he went and he had a very successful, not like career successful, but people coming to Jesus successful ministry in all of Africa because he followed what God was calling him to do. Now, none of that would have been possible without the people behind him giving. Okay? If we ask God what we should do to give to missions, so if we all accept that it's the church's and the individual's job to give to missions, if we ask God what we should do to give to missions, and we ask him through prayer, and if we are serious about our... Have you ever prayed and not been serious about the prayer? Everybody raise your hand. I know we've all been there, right? We maybe say, "Oh, I'll be praying for, oh Lord, please heal him," right? And deed versus generosity, right? It's all about what? It's all about the heart, right? So if we were to go to God in prayer and we're serious about our prayer, it is inevitable that we will be moved to give to missions because that's God's spirit. God is not a God that contradicts himself, right? So to be part of the solution, he wants us all to be part of the solution of spreading the good news. If we follow Matthew, the Great Commission, go into all the world, right? To go. Now, if you ask military leaders will tell you it takes 10 to 11 people, personnel, behind the lines to support the one that's on the front line. Now, is anyone in here military? I think all of our military people are not here today. It takes 10 to 11 personnel behind the lines to support the one on the front lines. Now, those who stand, same thing goes for missionaries. I don't know a single missionary that only has one supporter. If so, that would be amazing, right? But those who stand behind the missionary effort with their form of commitment, whatever that looks like, you are extremely valuable to the cause of proclaiming the gospel message, right? Your donation is what makes a difference. Now, if we look back to 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 24, it says this, "Who would listen to you in this matter? For as his share is who goes down to the battle, so shall his share be who stays by the baggage. They will share alike." What does this mean? For those that go and fight the war and those who stand at camp and make sure that they're not raided and things stolen, their share of the reward is the same as those who, what, went into battle, right? Listen, it doesn't matter how small, it doesn't matter how insignificant the task may be, whether you're doing it from home or it's on a missions field, it does not matter. God rewards those who contribute their efforts to the cause of spreading the gospel. You will share in the reward just as much as the missionary shares in the reward. Does anybody in here like stats? They like numbers? Arvin wanted to be an accountant when he was a little boy. He loves numbers. So I have some stats to share with you. So if you want to take this down, you certainly can. Here's some New Sharon Assembly of God stats. We support 19 missionaries every month. They're hanging down there on the wall, right? Plus, this past year, from September 1st of 2021 through yesterday, because I can't account for any missions giving that's given today, of course, but from September 1st to 21 through yesterday, our total missions giving for the year was $24,230.93. I think we can do better. I think we can do more in the next 12 months. And so today I'm going to introduce a challenge. I'm going to challenge everybody in here today. And here we'll get to that here in a minute, though. So without much effort. So you think about the last 12 months, right? Been through some transitions, waiting for that train to go by. With it's like putting a car on cruise control, right? There's not a whole lot of needing to adjust the pedal when you're on cruise control, right? Our missions giving has been on cruise control. We have those that faithfully give, and they give, and they give, and then we have those that maybe are supporting on their own, which I say, God bless you if you are. And then we have those that just don't know and don't give. And so without much effort, without much promotion, we have given $24,000 to missions. And first off, I say praise God for a church of our size that we're able to do that, right? But with today, with the introduction of this 52-week challenge, this pledge that I'm going to ask you to make for us to give to missions. Now, if the Lord stirs you to respond, respond, right? My prayer this week has been that He prompts at least 10 of us to agree to this pledge, to this challenge. And if 10 of us respond to this challenge, we will be able to give over the next 12 months, we will be able to give $38,000 to missions, if He does, if the Lord so prompts you to do so. And I remember sitting through an intro to AG missions class. This was through Iowa School of Ministry, and it was a class, you know, I stand up here all the time and I say, oh, this changed my life, and I've never gone back. Do you know that your life is consistent upon change and change and change, things happening that alter your perspective, that change the way you think, that change the way... Have you ever read the Bible and you open it up and you've read something for the 50th time and you're like, wow, I've never read it like that, and it changes your perspective on who God is and how He loves us, right? And it changes the way you view the world, right? So this is what happens to me. So I'm not just a broken record saying, oh, this changed my life and my perspective and blah, blah, blah. But honestly, this did. This class changed my life. I'd never given to missions until this point. Didn't really understand missions. Was never really taught about missions. Didn't understand it. So this was quite the class for me to sit through. And the instructor who was taught this class was talking about going and buying a big screen TV. So do you remember when TVs went from the tube like they have down in the youth room to the flat screen, big screen? Is anybody alive for that? I know some of you probably don't even know what a tube TV is. If you don't, it's downstairs. Go look in the youth room. That's what TVs used to be. And before that, they were encased in wood and sat on the floor, and they were a really nice furniture piece as part of your house. And so essentially he was going to buy one of these new flat screen, big screen TVs. Now, when those first came out, they were expensive. Did anyone go buy one when they first came out, right? Buku bucks, right? You were the Joneses that everyone else was trying to keep up with, see? And he was going to buy one of these big screen TVs. He didn't need it. He wanted it, right? Does anyone need a TV? First off, right? No, we all want a TV, right? We don't have to have a TV. And as he was going to buy it, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and really kind of convicted him. And he said, the Holy Spirit asked me, how will this spread the gospel? How will buying this expensive TV further the gospel message? Now, it's clear to me, and I hope it's clear to you, that the Holy Spirit had already been challenging him before this. Had already been working on him a little bit, suggesting that he give to missions. And then when he went to go buy the TV, the Holy Spirit asked, how will this spread the gospel? He was convicted and didn't buy the TV. But instead, he gave that money to missions. And the man is now somebody who I look up to and somebody that teaches ICOM classes. He's a pastor, and he's actually on the board of the AG World Missions Committee at the national office. And so that was his story, right? Went from going to buy a TV to giving to missions, and now he is such a proponent for missions that he sits on the committee for world missions. And God has proven himself faithful and supplied his every need in life. And so the question is, I wonder if we looked at our purchases, right? If when we went to go buy this nice fancy TV or this or that, you know, we talked about debt, we're talking about generosity. I just wonder that when the Holy Spirit is talking to us, guiding us and laying on our heart to do things, but yet we have this one, I want this really bad, right? And we go to buy it. If we were to look at that purchase, not necessarily by the dollars that's going to leave our bank account to buy it, but rather how many people might come to know the Lord Jesus if I gave this money instead of buying this. If we would still have that same desire to want that item. Now, I'm not suggesting at all that we do this with every purchase that we ever make. Right? We have to have food. I don't think the Holy Spirit's going to say, you can fast for a week. Maybe he will, but I hope you follow what I'm trying to say here, right? We have to listen to the Holy Spirit. And we have to ask ourselves, who believes in the gospel message? You don't have to raise your hand. Just in your mind, ask, do I believe in this? If you don't, I have a response for you coming up here shortly, so keep listening. But if we believe this gospel message, then is this gospel message worth spreading throughout all the world? Right? Is it worth spreading throughout all the world? And then the next question you have to ask is, what am I willing to do to make sure that happens? If everybody waits for somebody else to start working, how many people are standing around, right? I will tell you that given to missions, it does require some sort of personal sacrifice. I don't know how to explain it other than it takes personal sacrifice. If that means that we live at a lesser standard than what we're used to, is that worth the gospel message reaching to a country that I'll never step foot in my entire life? Is it worth people coming to know Jesus for me to not, whatever, right? You got to answer that for yourself. So here's the 52-week challenge that I'm introducing today. This is the pledge that I'm going to ask you to join on. The 52-week challenge, has anyone ever heard of the 52-week savings? Where it's $1 on week one, it's $2 on week two, $3. Anybody familiar with that? Anybody? No? Okay. Alicia and I did it way back when we were so debt-ridden that we didn't have money to put aside, and this helped us learn how to save and start putting money aside. And is what it does is it builds up to $52 by week 52 that you give. And by the end of the 52 weeks, you will have donated or you will have saved $1,378. Now, if you'd rather not do a progression and give $52, you could choose to take that $1,378 and divide it by 52, and you get the magic number of $26.50, right? Each will get you to $1,378. And if we had 10 people agree to do that over the next 52 weeks, we would raise an additional $13,780 for missions. And if we have more people that are willing than 10, then we would raise even more, right? And so if it would be able to, what would this do for us? Well, we could do a few things with it, right? We could give more to our missionaries than we currently do. We could take on more missionaries, which I say, let's do it, right? We could support special projects. There is the occasion that one of our missionaries that are hanging on the wall will call and say, hey, we are in a crisis. We need support for this, that, or the other. Can you help us? This would give us the option to support that. We could buy a vehicle for a missionary. Don't you know that's why we have Speed the Light, our youth giving, right? They buy vehicles for missionaries. We could buy a vehicle for a missionary. We could give to BGMC. We could buy a million chickens for $13,780, right? We could give a bunch of chickens to a village somewhere. There's really no end of what we could do with it. The list just continues on what we can do. But here's the thing. It's your faithfulness. It's your pledge. And giving to missions over the next year that will literally change how we are engaging our community for Jesus. Right? And before I ask anybody to commit to this pledge or this challenge, whatever you want to call it here, I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. If I can have the worship team come up. It's pretty simple what this is, guys. The good news is this. It's that Jesus came to the world. He gave His life in place of our sins, right? Not a little bit, but wholly, right? Paid for our sins. He was nailed to the cross. He was buried, and He was raised 3 days later. He paid our debt. So where we show a negative balance, red, negative, it's now black. It has been paid in whole. He has erased our sin. He has defeated death. And all those that believe in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This message, that right there, that good news, that is the message that these missionaries are carrying to the end of the world to share with others who have never heard the name of Jesus. So whether this is in a new way or in a fresh way, I want to give everybody the opportunity. I want to ensure everyone has the chance to respond to this good news. So if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you choose to take that step today, would you please just raise your hand? Amen. So here's how we're going to end today, church. It's a little bit different. It's very hard to call people for an altar call when it's around money because it's a very sensitive thing, and I think it's between you and God. I don't have any place to be in that. But I do want to open up the altars for those that need prayer for healing. Anything that you need, we want to pray for. If you have a concern that you want to bring before the Lord, we want to pray for you. Right? Know that. We want to pray with you, for you, for that need. And as we close today, worship team, lead us through a song. My wife is going to be in the back. She's going to have these 52-week challenge papers. And here's the thing. I want everyone to take one. I want everyone to leave here with one of those papers in their hand. Now, by taking one, that does not mean that you're going to give to missions, right? I don't expect everyone to give. Now, it'd be amazing if the Lord led you to do that, but I don't expect that. But here's what I expect from each and every one of you. To pray. And ask the Lord what this looks like in your life and if you should give to this cause. That if you should take part of this 52-week pledge. For some of you, it may be a resounding yes. For some of you, it may be a not now. And maybe it's just a reduced from what we have on the paper. I was just trying to figure out a point to start. If you just need to give $1 a week, guess what? The Lord's going to bless you. If you give a penny a week, guess what? The Lord's going to bless you, right? Because it doesn't come from the heart. And so I think that if we can all respond in our way, I think we're going to see amazing things in New Sharon Assembly. And I think that our missionaries are going to be abundantly blessed because of it. So let's pray. Let's close in worship. And let's let the Lord guide us. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we close this sermon series on money matters and challenging messages, challenging thoughts over the last few weeks, and Lord, I pray that you would guide each and every one of us the way that you would have us go and how we respond. And Lord, I pray that because of our faithfulness in trusting you and taking that step, Lord, that we would see amazing things, Lord, in our own lives, but in the lives of those that are impacted by this giving. Lord, I pray that New Sharon Assembly of God can literally reach to all the world through our missionary network and impact lives for your kingdom. Lord, I pray that each one of us would want to be a part of that. And Lord, I pray for your blessing upon these individuals. I pray for your Spirit to lead us, guide us, Lord. Father, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.